you would just reach out, if you will just obey and be led by my Spirit, I will show you how to go to this new level, to this new dimension of worship in me. Reach out to the Lord. Lord, we worship you. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Father. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Change, Father. Change. Reach out for the change that's coming. Reach out for the change that's coming. Hallelujah. Open your mouth and use it. That's why he gave you a tongue. That's why he gave you a mouth. To acknowledge him and to acknowledge what he wants to do. Acknowledge it. Open up your mouth. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you and we praise you, Lord. We thank you and praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Bring him up.
Okay, background story. Sean has a testimony to tell. So we went camping last weekend, and we were around county, and so we were going to the flea markets. And we were like, okay, Sean, if you behave yourself, then we'll find you something. And so he says, Sean, what did you tell him that you wanted? What did you tell me you wanted? Say it in there. What did you want?
Peach.
Tell him. Okay, anyway. He wanted a moving dinosaur. So I said, okay, let me see how we're going to figure this one out. So I said, you know what? Let's pray and ask Jesus and let's believe for a moving dinosaur. So we get to get him. So I pull him on my lap and we're sitting there at the campsite and said, okay, Sean, just repeat after me. And so we say, dear Jesus. And so he's repeating me and we're believing for a moving dinosaur. And I said, for cheap. And for cheap. So we're shopping and we find his orange moving dinosaur that it's got a little button on its back and its arms move up and down, its mouth opens and it roars. And so and it was $2. So we felt like it. He's got to learn before he gets out into school and into the world before they can tell him that you can't do that, because he's going to learn before he's even able to remember. That's he's right. Going to know that whenever he prays and he believes for the things, that God's going to do it for him. So.
See, and what's happening here is the Lord wants to develop his relationship with him. That's what's happening. And that's what I sense this morning, your relationship with the Lord, he wants that develop in us. The faith of a child. Hallelujah. That's beautiful. That's absolutely beautiful. Hallelujah. That is beautiful.
Oh, and the best thing is that we were with friends who don't know how to pray and believe for things. And we prayed with them sitting with us. And they saw it happen. So,
hallelujah.
Added testimony, so.
Hallelujah.
They're Christians, but they just don't. Yeah. So we were very grateful to God. So.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Kathy took me to the dentist. We haven't been here since then. And I don't remember like when it was, but we were believing about the teeth and stuff, and I had that wisdom tooth that was coming through, and they thought that my nerve was running through my system, like the root system, while I went. and I got it taken out, and they just pulled it out, and there was no roots involved or anything. Or no nerve. So, yep.
Oh, just a little bit. Hallelujah. That's great. And no pain like...
Yeah, I took my medicine for like a day.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Where's my pillow? Where's my new pillow? Who's got my new pillow? All right. See, I already claimed it. And actually, it was part of the message this morning because the Holy Ghost told me, he said, I want you to get the pillow up here. So, I trusted the Lord that at least, I figured, you know, there'd be more done, I don't know. But he said, the pillow, I want you to use the pillow this morning. So, we're gonna do something here, and I believe it goes along in line with everything that we've been talking about over the last 5 months now. Isn't this a beautiful pillow?
Yes, it is.
Girls, you did a great job with this. Thank you for doing this. This is absolutely gorgeous. And so I want to pray this morning for these. We're going to be making a bunch more of these, and I want to pray that we can get these out to the nursing homes and into the hospitals in different places. Matt, I think even at the hospital you work at, that you volunteer at, that you could use these there and give to people and see lives changed as a result of it. So let's just agree with me, agree with the Word of God that these will be used and that God will receive much glory, that we will usher in more people into the kingdom as a result of using these pillows and the Word of God on them. You believe that?
Yes.
I believe that. Well, let's pray. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for the resources that we have, Father, that we can get these out, and that, Father, you'll provide divine opportunity for us and provide us with divine connections, Father, divine appointments, Father, to be able to get these out into the hospitals and into the nursing homes, Father, and in every place else that you direct us to, Lord. We thank you for that, and we praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. What happened when you prayed that? Mark, what happened when you prayed that? I want to know what happened when you prayed that. It's done. What happened, Dorothy, when you prayed that?
Well, I saw the angels going out, and they were already making the way for us to be able to do that. So they were preparing places for us to be able to do that.
Well, this is also a part of when we pray. I want to take you into Scripture because this is something, you know, we hear a lot of teaching, and I really sense that, you know, we get taught and we get taught and we get taught and we hear the Word and we hear the Word, and it's time that we put it into action. And we put a practical application to it. We just prayed for that to go and to reach people's lives. Turn with me to Mark 11:23. It says in verse 23, For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. How many, when you prayed, that you believed that you received that? That you received divine opportunities and divine appointments to go into those places and divine connections where you will be able to get in there and do those things? How many have an expectancy, and how many are actually looking for that? How many actually will go out tomorrow when we leave here and all this week and are looking for the opportunities and the divine connections to get this out, to get the gospel out? How many are actually taking and making an effort to do that? We all need to be. We all need to be. I need to be looking for the opportunity. When we pray, this is not just a religious exercise that we prayed for this, but we need to be looking for. Remember, faith is looking for something. Faith is searching out something. Faith is seeking out something. Faith has a voice. So I believe that I receive. When I pray, I say, I believe I receive. I believe, I receive. So When we pray, this is not just a religious exercise for us to go through. Amen? We are believing for something. We are believing for divine appointments and divine connections to get the Word of God out. So in my spirit, when I'm asking God, it comes up in my spirit, Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. I believe you're going to send someone my way. I believe, Lord, because I'm looking for it. Now, how many prayed that and you just didn't sense anything and it was just flat and there was nothing there? I don't want you raising your hands. You prayed that and it was flat. Let me read on here. And when you stand praying, forgive. And when you stand praying, forgive. Got something against your wife, got something against your husband, your neighbor, your boss. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. And you know, praying is not about feelings. But you can sense when you get an answer to prayer, when God hears you and you got open heavens. I know in my spirit when the heavens are opened and God hears me. Because the Holy Ghost is bearing witness with my spirit. Now let me tell you something. Usually when we don't get answers to our prayers, there's a couple things wrong. Either we're harboring unforgiveness, and nothing's happening in our lives, or we got things out of order. Did you hear me? Things may be out of order, or there may be some sort of unforgiveness there. Because that wasn't no mistake that the Lord put it there, and when you stand praying, forgive. That's no mistake. If you have aught against any. Did someone do something to you and you took offense to it? And in verse 26 it says, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. So when we pray, we believe that we receive. And it's a whole lot easier to believe that you receive when you have a clear slate, a clean slate. Amen? There's a clean slate there. Now, we're looking for a door of utterance. We're looking for a door of utterance. You know, this morning when we came in here, I said, shake off the sleep. Because this is not a time to be complacent anymore. Did you hear me? It's not a time to be complacent anymore. God is doing some great things in this earth. Doing some great works in this earth. Wants to do some great things. And I believe that every person in here, God wants to do something with. And we'll just allow them. Amen? Colossians chapter 4. It says this, with all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I might make it manifest as I ought to speak. So he's talking about praying and having the door of utterance. How many believe that they can get a door of utterance this week to speak to someone? To tell them about the good news of Jesus Christ. I believe that. Remember what I also told you? We're looking for opportunities. We're going to be looking for opportunities. We're going to be looking to start doing God's Word. Everywhere. God, I want opportunities to be able to do your Word. Faith involves looking for seeking. In Hebrews 11:10 it says they were seeking and looking for a country or for a city. And then in Matthew 7:7 it says to seek. And that word seek means to require, to demand, to crave, to seek in order to find. me say that again. In Matthew 7, 7, the word seek means to require, to demand, to crave. And you know what? Here's what I'm really sensing in my spirit. That God's people is not really seeking and craving after His things. We're satisfied to listen and to be taught and to be taught and to be taught and to be taught and to be taught. And there's nothing wrong with being taught the Word of God. But this is the time, I'm telling you by the Spirit of God, this is the time now to put into action what you've been taught and what has been sowed into your hearts for years. Now it's time to rise up and to rise up and to do the Word of God. Because God's looking for a people to do His Word. Not just hear it and hear it and hear it and hear it. When Brother Billy Miller was here, he told me, I said, what's the biggest thing that you see in all the churches that you travel around? He said, the people are just satisfied just to hear the Word and to be taught. But there's more to it than that. There's more to it than that. There's an actual part of actually going out and doing it. And to experience it. And then I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what is it specifically in our church that we need to do in order to be able to do these things? And you know what He told me? He said, the people are asking amiss. In James 4:3, it says this, you have not because you ask not. Let me read it to you. It says, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust. I said, Lord, what is it? And He gave me this, and He said, the word amiss means to go off course. We need to stay on course. We need to stay in God's divine order of things. How many believe that God's got a divine order of things? I believe that. He's got a divine order. So in order to get our prayers answered and to see God move and to see the things open up for us, you know, there's a lot of times where I'll pray and I'll start sensing that this is not the direction, or God's just not hearing me on this. And you know what I go back to? I go back to the order of things that He gave me to make sure I did what I was supposed to be doing back a month or two ago. And I'll go back through my notes and say, Lord, did I do this? And I'll go back through and examine where I've gone. And I started to examine where we've gone as a church since the first of the year. And this message really is just for our body, because there's certain things I believe in everybody, certain things lack, but the Holy Ghost will bring those things in to provide that, or to fill in that lack. And then He started speaking to me about the divine order. He said, the order is out. The order is out. And before I left on vacation 2 weeks ago, we talked about revelation knowledge. And we talked about the things that God had been showing us throughout this year. You know, I don't know how much I can emphasize this. I don't go and get on the internet for canned messages. Did you hear what I said? I don't get on the internet and looking for a sermon to preach. I spend time with the Holy Spirit and listening to Him as to the direction that this body should go in. And this is not a rebuke. This is just a matter of making sure that we keep focused on what God wants for this church, for our lives. Because when He starts speaking to me, there's some things that I sense that there's lack in this body. And there was lack in the area of revelation, knowledge. But you know what? One of the things that I've seen over the course of the last 5-6 months is that revelation knowledge has increased greatly in this body. We have a lot of revelation knowledge. And then we talked about knowing the times and seasons, how urgent it is. Then we talked about the parable of the talents, about resource management and dunamis and the true riches. We looked at what we look at affects our walk. And I said, we need to stay focused on those things. What we look at affects our walk. And then Pastor David last Sunday talked about the kids because the Lord had started dealing with me about the kids in this church and about the youth in this church. And I'm working to put something together for the kids in this church and bringing in an outside ministry to help us to put it in order the way God wants it. But I believe the Lord wants a divine order and for us, for this body to stay focused on certain things in order to do the greater works. How many believe that if something's lacking and you're off course, then you can't get to that you can't get to where God wants you to be? Have you ever went to the Holy Ghost and said, Lord, I don't know. What is it? What is it that's lacking? What is it that I need to change? You know, we don't really need a counseling session. We just need people that will just go to the Lord and spend time with Him. Right? And I believe with all my heart God wants to do some greater things. And we talked about this revelation knowledge and the importance of it. Why I passed out these cards. And we pray these prayers in Ephesians chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 3. The importance of doing that and grabbing revelation. And then when we had the men's Bible study a few weeks ago, Mark played for us a video of Brother Creflo Dollar on the law of hearing. Wasn't it the law of hearing, Mark? Mark, why don't you come up here and tell us about Peter and the walk and what he said in those few verses, which was a powerful revelation, and it affected me so much when I heard that, what he said. You remember where that was at? That was in Matthew. Go turn to Matthew 16, 13 through 18. See, you got to be able to be paying attention to what the Spirit of the Lord is saying in certain things in order to stay on course. Come up here, Mark, so you can come up here with the microphone. We all need to hear this. I've read this over and over, and I believe what the Lord had showed Brother Creflo, that he was right on about revelation.
Let's read it. Matthew 16, verses 13 through 18. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesar Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, son of Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
The part that he explained was the part of the revelation. God would build his church on revelation. Did you catch that? But God would build his church on revelation of the word, on what the Holy Ghost would speak.
You go back here and it talks about Peter had answered real quick. He says, Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Creflo said that he believed that that was not, well, it says right here, Jesus said to him that for flesh and blood did not reveal that to him. It did not just, it wasn't practical knowledge for him to answer that way, but it was only through the revelation. And then it immediately goes into building the church on the rock, and it's like, what's that all about? Well, he's going back and he's saying, he's using that as a parable to say, it's the revelation that the church is going to be built on.
Y'all get that? So why is it important to have revelation?
Why is it important to have revelation? And why did the Lord emphasize that so much to us at the beginning of the year to have revelation? Because there was an area that He wanted us to go down. There was an area that when we pray these prayers, that God wants to give us revelation. Because it's the Rhema, the living Word of God. You can read this and not get revelation unless you seek God out for it. Did you hear me? Unless you seek God, unless you desire, unless you crave it, unless you remember what that word seek in Matthew 7:7 said, seek was to crave after, to desire, to want it more than anything. And God, I want this more than anything. And a lot of times we get off focus, and I've gotten off focus, and I've done other things, and I've sensed my prayers were just like bouncing. And the Lord says, come on, get back on focus. Get back online. Get back on course here. And I keep focused on these things that I heard back a few months ago about what I look at affecting my walk. And I'll tell you, I saw something down in Florida that absolutely affected my walk. We took a cruise with a friend of mine. He had this boat. We took a cruise out in the bay. And it affected me. We were talking about all these nice homes. They were like $2, $3, $5, $4, $5 million homes. It affected my walk. Not that I wanted one of those homes, but I'm thinking, you know what? The kingdom of God. What could we do with $5 million in the kingdom of God? What could this church do with $5 million? And we've lost our focus. And I'm thinking, Lord, I've lost my focus on what's really important. I need resources to promote Your kingdom. And I'm looking at some of these boats out there in the bay, and I'm thinking these boats are worth one was worth $4.5 million. And I'm thinking, God's people are supposed to be the head and not the tail, and we're worried about a $150 electric bill. And we're not focused on what God wants. And I'm not saying He wants us to all have these yachts. I'm saying He wants us to have the resources to promote the kingdom of God. Not that there's anything wrong with having those things. Do y'all understand that? Do you get that? And I looked at this and I'm thinking to myself, Lord, there's a lot of cash out here. There is some serious cash out here. And there's sometimes we get focused in on these things of the IPO bill, the gas bill, the mortgage and everything, when we should be the head and not the tail, when we should be above only and not beneath. That's the heritage of God's people. It's to lend and not borrow. That's my inheritance. And I'm looking at these things and I'm thinking, Lord, help me to stay focused on these things that You've told us. Help me to stay focused, Lord. And then I was looking through 1 Corinthians 14:13-15. And this was a real revelation to me. God, how do I stay on focus? How do I stay on course? It says this. Therefore the person, I'm going to read this in the Amplified. Therefore the person who speaks in an unknown tongue should pray for the power to interpret and explain what he says. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit, by the Holy Spirit within me prays, but my mind is unproductive. It bears no fruit and helps nobody. Then what am I to do? I will pray with the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit that is within me, but I will pray. I will also pray intelligently with my mind and understanding, and I will sing with my spirit, by the Holy Spirit that is within me, but I will sing intelligently with my mind and understanding also. And you know what? I looked up that word edify, and it says, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, I'm edified by it. And you know what one of the meanings of that word edify is? Get this. It means to keep in order. Did you hear that? It means to keep in order. So when I pray by the Spirit, I can stay in order. Because it starts coming up inside me and the Holy Spirit starts reminding me of these things. Now that may come as a shock to some, but that's what one of the interpretations is. Edify means it's keeping order, to build up. So you know what I've been doing? in order to stay in line and stay focused, I pray in the Spirit. I started practicing that more and more and more. And then the Holy Ghost starts reminding me of these things. Starts reminding me of the things. And bringing back to my remembrance of these things that I need to stay and keep in order in my life. We talk about love and we talk about faith and we talk about love and we talk about the faith walk. But how about keeping things in order of what the Holy Ghost shows? And I really sense this. That the Lord is almost tired of message after message and the people of God not doing anything with it. And that the God's people start taking what He's given them and start using it. We have been given a lot here. We have been given a lot here. And I believe the Lord wants us to take the revelation that we do have and start using it and start applying it and saying, Lord, this is what You've given me. Now what can I do with it? Now what do You want me to do with it, Lord? And things will start opening. Doors will start opening up. You know, I told you I prayed for, well, it's been 31 years. That kind of shows my age. But I prayed for my classmates. Had that desire to see them born again. And finally, after 31 years, at least one of them I got the opportunity. And the others I've talked to before also. Because you know why? I start praying for the order. And God starts opening up more doors for me. And more doors and more doors. And I kept with it. You know, I haven't been that good with it. But you know what? I come back with more of a determination that I will stick with this. I will stick with what God has shown me. And as a body, God has shown us a lot of things. And if you haven't been here, there's kind of a gap there where you've not seen these things. But God, I'm going to keep reminding all of us that we need to keep pressing in for this revelation knowledge. That we need to keep knowing the times and the seasons that we live in. And we also need to keep pressing in for that power that's working on the inside of us to keep multiplying resources for the kingdom of God. I'm going to keep reminding everyone of these things. Because that's the course that the Holy Spirit has laid out. And it's the course that's lacking in some of our lives. So don't get diverted and try to do a bunch of other things. Ask the Holy Ghost. You know, one thing I appreciate more than anything is when someone will take and they'll come to me for help and they'll take what I give them and they'll actually do it. I've had people come to me and not do it, and their life's still a mess. Did you hear me? I don't know how much more if I get up on my knees up here and say, you know what? We have got to do God's Word. We have got to do God's Word. It's not that I haven't preached myself out. It's not that I've taught and taught and taught. But Pastor David has taught and taught and taught. But there has got to be some word being demonstrated to the people. There's got to be a reality of this word. I'll tell you, those people that I saw that have everything materially in this world, how are you going to go and give them the gospel of Jesus Christ when there's a bunch of lack and holes in your life and there's no victory? They are looking for victory. I'm going to tell you, they want one to see the reality of the gospel. And that's why so many kids today that come out of Christian homes and mom and dad go to church and there's no victory in their lives because the kids didn't see anything. That's why they don't go to church after they leave home. That's the reality of it. The gospel is real. When God says He'll do it, He means He'll do it. And I don't want to put any condemnation on anyone, but it's true. God's Word is true. And you got to stay focused, and you got to really crave it, and you got to really seek it out and be diligent about it. People want to see the reality of the gospel. They want to see the life of a Christian, a true Christian. They want to see the light. They want to see the power of God in their lives. Now, I've told you the story before. As I go out, start looking for buildings and everything, and you tell these people that you're with a church, they slam the phone down on you and they don't want to talk to you. You know why? because Christians are cheap. They want something for nothing. When we should be the head and not the tail, and above only and not beneath. There was a house down there that we looked at. It was probably worth $4 or $5 million. And the person that built it hasn't even lived in it yet. And then I look at these evangelists. They give their life to the gospel, and they're driving a car that's got 200,000 or 300,000 miles on it, and when they go to a church, they barely get enough to cover their expenses, and sometimes they don't even get enough to cover their expenses. What happened to the body of Christ? Is the gospel important or is it not? Is it the number one priority in your life or is it not? And I'm going to have to say myself, you know, I looked at all this, and I'm saying, Lord, this has to be. I cannot do anything without you. I cannot take what you've given me and accomplish anything if I don't stay on course with what you've said to me. It's a matter of doing what God has laid out. And he's laid out a good plan. And he's supplied the lack. I believe in this body, he's supplied the lack. You want to do things for the kingdom, right? Pastor David wants to do things for the kingdom. But how much money is it? Cassius said something this morning during the tithe and offering. It's not what was that? About $350 or $380,000? What was that?
Well, I said, you're asking for $350,000. You can look at that bill, and I said, you should be asking for $350,000 to accomplish what God has promised to do.
Right. You know, it takes some serious resource to do what God calls you to do. How many know it takes some serious resource? I'll tell you what, there were some of the boats down there that my yearly income wouldn't even cover the fuel bill on them. And do you think if we get serious with what God wants us to do, that God will do something in our lives? You know, come on now. Do you think that if we want to do something serious for the kingdom, that God will provide the resources for us?
Yes.
He will. Go to Philippians 4:19. I want to show you something here. It's proof. Word proof. It's starting in verse 15. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you in order of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Why does he do that? Because they here desire to do something. And you know, I'm not saying that we have no desire to not do anything here. But you know what? It's time to get right down radical. It's time to get down radical with talking to people about Jesus. It's time to get radical. It's time to get serious about telling people about a relationship with Christ. My heart started breaking when I told my classmate about a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I thought back of all the other classmates that I knew that didn't have a relationship, because all I remembered in school was them going out and partying and drinking and sinning and their life going to hell. That's all I remembered, and my heart went out to him. And I wanted to see him saved. More than anything, I wanted just to grab him and say, look, accept Jesus. But when you start moving out for the kingdom of God, and when you start desiring that, God starts supplying your need. I've seen it happen every time. But you know what? I'll be the first to admit, I haven't been as radical as I should. I haven't been as passionate as I should to see these things happen. God, I need, and we need a real Holy Ghost move here. We need a real Holy Ghost baptism in God's love, a compassion for people, to want to go out and to be able to go out and multiply resources for the kingdom to supply, to go out and to reach people for Christ. You know, if we get a touch of a reality of what hell is like, we would be out this afternoon looking to sell maybe some ice cream bars. But there is something of the Spirit that I sense stronger and stronger and stronger. each day. It's to get up and move out and do something for the kingdom. And not hold back. Not hold back. No holding back. I said, Lord, I'm not going to hold back. I ain't going to hold back, Lord. I stood out there looking at the Gulf and watching the Gulf. I will not hold back, Lord. There was multitudes and multitudes of people. And as I looked up and down those shores, I saw the multitudes of people. God, keep us on track. Keep us on course, Lord. And then the Lord spoke to me and he said, you know what true unity really is? He said, when my people in a body will flow together in the Spirit. He said, that's what real true unity is. When we all flow together, together in the Spirit. And the Spirit is moving. God's Spirit is moving. And he's moving strong, looking for people, looking for churches. And I believe he's looked and he's put his hand upon this church. I believe that. And he's saying, you know what? You stay on course. I'm going to pour out my Spirit like you've never experienced in your experience of power that will absolutely rock this world and change this world. We do not have much longer to go. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. As Matt talked about this morning in discipleship, we go to the Lord a lot of times with our problems. I've been guilty of that. Not that he's not wanting to take care of it. But how many of us on a daily basis is saying, Lord, what can I do for the kingdom of God today? What can I do? Lord, I need a window. I need a door of opportunity to go speak to this person. I need a window of opportunity, Lord. I need a door. Open up their heart, Lord. Open up their heart. Or do we get out of bed and say, Lord, you know what? I got to get into work. You just need to help me get through this day. I'm trying to show you how to get beyond that. And to seek first the kingdom of God. To stay on course. And all these things will be added to you. God is interested in your problem. But he wants to go beyond that. He wants to go beyond $350 to pay the electric bill or whatever. Or the mortgage. It's beyond that. What I looked at affected me. I thought, wow, this... We could use, you know, I was looking down there and the boat houses that they have to house their boat, let me tell you something, was bigger than my house. And I'm not against that. I'm not against having those things. But I'm thinking, you know what? That ought to be in the body of Christ. That should be in the body of Christ. And then we wouldn't have to have fundraisers. Come on, I'm not bashing these things, but you know, we have these, the body of Christ would bring out, I saw it on the way back, one church was having a fundraiser of a garage sale, and they have people give me hand-me-downs, and they're trying to sell these hand-me-downs to raise some money for the kingdom of God. That is, I think, abhorring to God. It's abhorring. When you go into some of these places, and they're not even serving God, and they have the finest things. But the body of Christ should have those things for the kingdom. And I'm thinking to myself, God, what are you thinking when you see something like that? What are you thinking? What do you think when you see something like that? And you know what I really sense? It grieves his spirit. Because he's laid so much out for the body of Christ. You know what? Let me say this. I'm going to say this. This may run the wrong way to some of you. But you know, we just took communion. And it says that we're to judge ourselves. And I really believe one of the things that we're supposed to judge ourselves is concerning the covenant that Christ provided for us. Whether we're in belief or unbelief concerning that covenant. Do you hear me? It says we should judge ourselves. Have we judged rightly when it comes to giving the best for the kingdom of God? Are we still trying to give God hand-me-downs? Do y'all get what I'm saying? Start looking for the best things for the kingdom of God. Start believing for the greater things for the kingdom of God. If God called you to Estonia, or let's say he called you to Hungary, how much would you need for a month's expenses to go there and back here? A month's expenses, fly and everything.
At least
$5,000. We need to get off the mindset of putting out our hand-me-down tennis shoes in the garage sale to raise that money. We should have it for the kingdom of God. Now, the Holy Spirit is challenging us. He he is challenging us to go to another level and to wipe out everything that we think about and to be renewed with what he wants. When we come in, and I liked how the Holy Spirit moved today. When we come in during tithing and offering and like that, you know what? Don't put your money in if you're not going to believe for it, because you're wasting your time. I bet you won't hear very many pastors say that. I'm telling you to get aggressive. Stay on track. Get aggressive with the things of God. I'm not talking about being rude or being arrogant or anything like that. I'm just saying there's an aggressiveness and there's a passion for the things of God. You know what? I didn't give this message to make you feel condemned. But I gave this message because God wants something different. Let's quit beating around the bush and come out and be the people that God called us to be. Amen?
I'm sitting back there and he just said what was going in my heart back there, and you've all heard it, and you've all heard me read it. Nehemiah chapter 8. Cricket's smiling at me. Verse 8 through 10. So they read from the book of the law distinctly, faithfully amplifying and giving the sense so that the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites, who taught the people, said to all of them, "This day is what? Holy. This day is holy. More not." I know we're all sitting here very quiet, very thoughtful, and we should be, because God is speaking to our hearts. But God is also saying, "More not, nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law." Then Ezra told them, "Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet drink, and send portions to him for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to the Lord. Be not grieved and depressed, for the joy of the Lord is your strength and stronghold." Amen. Amen. So why is this day holy? Those of you who have heard me, why is this day holy? Amen. Did everybody hear that? God is correcting us to take us higher. This day is holy because you're going higher, baby. Amen. He's preparing your hearts. He's moving on your hearts to get it right. He wants you to go higher. He wants you to take this earth by storm and do what no other people have done since this time. Amen. And you know what? He believes in you. He believes that each one of you has that in you, has that potential. Don't second guess God on what he can do for you and through you.
You know, and I look at myself also. I'm thankful that God has blessed us to give what we can give to this church. But, you know what? I want to be able to do more. I want to be able to do more. And I'm going to tell you, we can do a certain amount of what we bring into this body, but we can't go and do more. The greater, the more of the things that God wants to do. I want to keep reaching for more of the things that he wants us to do. And that's why I believe the Holy Spirit is challenging us to do more. To do more. If some guy can take ice cream bars on a beach, I mean, think about this. Come on now. We got to get over the $10, $15, $20 an hour mentality. We got to get over that. We got to stay focused on these things that God has given and say, you know what? I know we all start out at some place, but you know what, God? There's more out there that you want to do. If someone can make t-shirts and sell them to a convenience store, come on. There's more. There's got to be more. There's got to be more. There's got to be more ways to get this out to people. There's got to be more ways. There's got to be more. God, there's got to be more ways to get this out, to get your word out to people. There's got to be more ways to get resources for the kingdom of God. And I'm thankful that we're making these and we're going to start putting these out. But there's more. Come on, there's more. He's a too much God.
That's right.
too much, God. There's more. If 12 men could affect Asia Minor in those days, there's got to be more we can do. There's got to be more. Hallelujah. There's got to be more. Do you think there's more out there? I do. I believe that. There's more. There's more people to share Christ with. There's more people to see the healing power of God move through their bodies.
There's more people in your offices that need to know the truth. There's more people above and below your offices. You're there for a strategic purpose.
God put you there.
It's not all finances. It's not right. All finances. He's put you there. You're strategically placed to do what God's called you to do. Take that and run.
Take that opportunity and God will move you higher. God will move you higher.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let me say this in closing. I want you all to think about this. If we haven't shared Christ with someone in the last month, in the last week, you know what? You know what that's an indication of? A hard heart. That's a hard heart. I've been there. I don't want to go back to there. Hallelujah. Boy, it's quiet in here.
I think God's taken the hammer on that heart and it's starting to hammer off all the hardness. If you allow it. Allow it. Allow him to.
Tell you, when you spend some time with the Holy Ghost, you spend some time with the Lord, you start seeing people in a whole different light. You start seeing them and you just want to say, you want to shake them and go up to them. I want to go up to them and put my arm around them and say, let me tell you about Jesus. God will heal you. God will heal your body. I don't like to hear someone that's have a diseased body. That bothers me. Because you know why it bothers me? I think it bothers God. And the spirit on the inside of me, it bothers him to see that. It bothers him to see that we have lack. It bothers him. I know it bothers him for lack in our lives. But no more. No more. God, we need to stay on track. Lord, help us to stay on track. Help us to stay on course, Lord. Help us to keep things in order in our homes and in our families and in our church. Lord, help us to keep these things in order. And Lord, we know that you can open up doors to us. Lord, we know that you've given us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. Lord, we're hungry after that and we crave that, Lord. We crave to stay on course and to know your ways and to watch you work in our lives, Lord. We're excited for our kids, to see our kids to serve you, Lord, and to see your power and to see your glory, Father. To see answers to prayers. We're excited for our kids to see that, Lord. I'm excited, Father, for the kids in this church that they will grow and mature in their relationship with you, Father. And we will be negligent to pray for them, Father. To pray for these children, Father, that you've placed in our trust, in the parents' trust, and in the church, Father. That we will be negligent to pray for them. And Lord, I thank you for everyone here, Father, that your spirit abides upon them and in them, Father. And you'll show them what to do. And open up doors of opportunity. You desire your blessing more than anything upon them. That there be no lack for anything, nothing, nothing missing, nothing broken, but completeness and wholeness. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness in Jesus' name. Amen.